Welcome back once again to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm Eric, and it's Fansgiving, guys. This week's episode is picked by one of our top fans, Sabrina. We're really excited to bring to you what is quite possibly the most painful movie for us to ever have to watch for the Quality Time Podcast. But hey, if you want to become a top fan, the best way to start, hop on the iTunes, the Stitcher, and drop us a 5-star review. We do look at them, and we're going to do something special with them one day. So without further ado, get strapped in, turn the volume up to 11, and get ready for Twilight.
Yism.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Broadcast like we always do, drinking a full pint of human blood mixed with semen. It's bad enough they have that new microphone pussy thing that looks like Wilson from Castaway.
You know the worst fleshlight that I saw, Jeremy? Have you seen the pinhead fleshlight?
No.
There's one. It's just a mouth, but it's pinhead's mouth. It just has.
Anawata solo.
You figure in hell you just become so bored with everything that you're just like, just don't care anymore. You know, oh, you're gonna rape me again? Whatever. Tell me when you're done.
Okay, I got Joe's corrections up. Welcome back to the Quality Time Podcast. My name is Eric Woodworth. Thank you once again. With all the talk about fleshlights, I was getting all hot and heavy, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Yeah, hot and heavy. Wet.
Yeah.
Fucking moist.
I've been just watching Lifetime for Women movies all weekend.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby.
Because I don't care to watch football.
I'm joined by my host, my co-host, my blood, my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth.
Who are you talking about?
I'm sorry, who's joining us on the show?
It's me, Robert Petticord.
Oh, I'm Robert Petticord. I'm Dylan Petticord's brother.
I also, not only the star of Twilight, but also the stand-in for Zach Galifianakis on Baskets.
What if we recast this movie with Dylan Petticord instead of, like, that would be good, right? I would
Hell
see that
yeah.
movie. That
and,
would be
and of course,
tight.
Dressed up as a clown on Halloween.
But I also like that you called him Petticord, right?
Yes.
It's obviously, his real name and is what?
Dylan Petticord.
It's fuck. Blubber C. Blobblins. It's Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson. Exactly. That's what I said.
He's going to be the new Batman.
Oh, gosh.
He's the newest Batman. But I heard the new movie with that he's in with him and Willem Dafoe, it's actually really good. The fucking Sailors movie. He's like, you never kill a gull. The gulls are the souls of old sailors. It looks like a movie. Joe and Katie actually messaged me when they came out of that movie. I think it's called The Lighthouse. And he said, I don't know what the fuck just happened at all. And we were like, fuck yeah, I want to see it now.
I'm thinking maybe it's like Seventh-day Adventist or the Jehovah's Witnesses because it's The Lighthouse.
That makes sense. You know what? That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. Like those pamphlets they give out for The Lighthouse all the time. So
again, exactly what I was thinking.
And my other favorite thing is that Jimi Hendrix song called The Lighthouse. So all along the lighthouse.
All along the lighthouse. Better stop my earth. Two miners were approaching, and the blend began to blow. Ow!
So can we get down to the serious part of this program?
The serious part? Well, can I backtrack just a little bit before we get into your job situation? Sure. I know we want to talk about that. We got a jam-packed episode. It's been weeks since we've met. So this episode, when you're hearing it, you're going to hear it actually in like 4 days. So we're very behind schedule. We're fucking catching
still,
up, bro.
And I'm still inside up. Your head, even though I've been away.
No, dude, he's fucking balls deep in my brains.
I'm on your brain. I'm like, I'll take that choice little bit of comedy morsel and I'll use it and say it is my own.
Now, so we just came coming off of Halloween week, Jeremy, last week, and I went to a comedy show that we all dressed up as. Basically, it was a comedy show where we were encouraged to dress up. So I decided to go to this comedy show as Peter B. Parker, which is basically the fatter Spider-Man in the Into the Spider-Man movie. You know, the one that wears, like, sweatpants?
Yes.
Because, listen, it's a magical time if you're a fat cosplayer. Because, look, this year, we got Fat Thor. We got Fat Spider-Man. We have regular-sized Lizzo. There's so many choices we have to pick from oversized heroes.
Spider-Man is also a pig now.
It's Spider Pig. I mean, I had a lot of options, right? So I decided.
So you can pretty much transform into anything now. So
yeah.
You know, Spider Man Porpoise.
I'm a Spider Porpoise now. This is Uncle
Ben. Just pretty much another Spider Man with your dick cut off.
My blowhole is going crazy. So the Doc Ock is a very much bigger villain in the dolphin world. So now I went as Spider-Man. I show up, I'm wearing sweatpants in a one-piece suit, Spider-Man suit. And I guess people hadn't seen me there in a couple of months, and I've lost some weight. And the bar owner comes up to me and he was like, man, you lost a lot of weight. And then he like pointed to my suit. He's like, but you didn't lose this much weight. Like that. So immediately just calls me fat, right? First thing that happens.
Bring on the shaming.
Yeah. I immediately get shit on. But listen, I open myself up to this type of attack whenever I dress like this. So,
you know your milkshake brings the boys to the yard.
Yeah, dude, I get it. So now the way this suit goes on, Jeremy, is it's a one-piece thing that just zips up in the back, right?
Oh, I have held the hocks to get your back into that shirt with the zipper.
And while it's a little bit easier down 50 pounds, it's still a chore to get into, right? So I show up to the show. I'm closing out the night. But Daddy had some Taco Bell about 2 hours before. And bad things were brewing, Jer.
Oh, yeah.
I just hear the bubbling starts, and it gets to that point where, like, I could probably hold it. And then 15 minutes later, like, I got to go to the bathroom.
You guys doing the same Halloween show as that you did a year ago?
Still doing the same Halloween show. And I could tell some cool stories about that, too. But I used this Spider-Man costume as part of that show. So I was using it this night, and I realized that I need to use bathroom. So this isn't just something that you can go in and just take a quick pee. I had to unzip the whole back, and I realized that I'm sitting in this public restroom, this public bathroom, and I'm just fully nude. I'm unzipped all the way down, and there's nothing underneath it. And, you know, I pull down underpants and everything. I'm just fully nude shitting in a public.
You're wearing underwear.
I'm wearing underwear, but not when I shit, so they're down around my ankles. Nude in a public bathroom right now, okay? I feel like I could do the Dumb and Dumber spray shit and just like this.
By the way, my favorite song, Barnes and Barnes Public Toilet.
Yeah. It's not that, Jeremy. To pull it back up, you have to like put it over your hands and everything. Well, after you shit, like I don't want to just put my shitty hands back into this thing. So I had to get out of the stall after I was done with just my underwear pulled up, but this whole thing around my ankles so I could waddle over and nudely wash my hands in the public sink, completely naked. And so I did pull up my underpants, but I still just a fat naked guy basically in the public bathroom washing his hands. But that's not it, Jeremy. After I get this thing on, right?
Yes.
After I get this thing on, you slip it over your fingers and everything. I can't zip myself up. So I have to go out there now. And I have to ask a stranger at this open mic comedy night that I've been chosen to headline to zip me up like I'm a 1950s mom about to go see Don Draper at the fucking winter gala.
Can I interject there that there's way too many times I've asked somebody in a public restroom to do the back of my clown suit which I know has got to be very uncomfortable, but I try to be as friendly as I can.
Excuse me, your friendly murder clown here. Do you mind zipping me up? Excuse me, sir? Sir, stop running! I need you!
I'm surprised everybody doesn't turn me down when I ask, so.
The life of being a murder clown, man. So, yeah, we had a lot of successful shows, though, over the run. A lot of good shows at Magoob's and everywhere else. I decided to go this year's theme. I had all these costumes. I came out as a... But I decided each costume I would come out in, I would be Colonel Sanders-based. So I have a Ghostbusters suit. I was Ghostbusters Colonel Sanders, okay? That was costume one. And the stupidest thing is, like, when I came out, they were like, Justin's like, who are you, sir? And I'd be like, I'm Ghostbusters Colonel Sanders. These ghosts is finger-licking good, right? And so it's just so stupid, you gotta laugh, right? But the next one, the reason why I thought it was so funny is that the next one I come out to interrupt the show in, as I'm Spider-Man, but I have the full wig, goatee, and glasses on. I'm Spider Sanders, which I just thought was the dumbest thing in the whole world. Like, ooh, my 11 herbs and spices are tingling right now. And Justin shits on me. But the last one, the final one I come out in, I bought a replica WWE robe of the Macho Man Randy Savage. So I come out as the Macho Man Randy Savage in a giant robe that says Macho Madness with the glasses and everything, the fucking white wig and the goatee. And they ask me, who are you? Oh, yeah, it's me, the Macho Man Randy Sanders. And that one was a killer. That one was the showstopper. Oh, Justin loved it. We did tests of strength out there. It was very fun. So had a great time doing the murder mystery. But Jeremy, in the meantime, the whole month of October, you've been gainfully employed.
Yeah, and it pretty much shut down my any help I could give to the Halloween murder mystery. Even though I think my face was used in the advertisement, which I'm very thankful for. Mm-hmm. I think that was Robbie that actually did that.
Robbie Robinson, big fan of yours, big fan.
If he never loves me again, he gave me so much love in that, I'm very thankful. So, did the chiller, did the another midnight release of Killer Clown versus the Candyman, which had a pretty good turnout, better than I expected.
Yeah, how did that go? How did that big premiere go?
We even had homeless John Link show up just towards the beginning.
How is he even available?
He can actually walk by himself with a cane, and he had... gotten a free Ouija board, which he tied to his hand that he can't use, so it's just tied and dangling. And I didn't get to see his
nails.
Oh,
so he can't talk? He talks through a Ouija board?
No, he just got it free from the show. He can talk.
I thought he was like, now he's like, what's his name from Breaking Bad? He just has a bell like, bing, ding.
He should. But
bring
he
me my booze and action figures.
He almost talked almost as regular as usual, just maybe a little bit slower. But he was definitely still kind of limping on one side.
What were his lice levels looking like?
I did not want to get that close to know. You know, if he had actually begged and told us that he was clean, we were definitely going to have to examine him. But no, Edward refuses to have him anywhere near us anymore because you can't trust him and he lies. But his brother will tell the truth, like, yeah, he hates bathing. No, he's probably hasn't bathed in at least a month. He's like, well, you definitely probably still have lice. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So I just really wanted to see the fingernails if they were like at least an inch long.
How were people's reactions to the movie?
Very good reception. Only a couple people walked out.
Nice.
It does have its disturbingness, even though it does have a bit of comedy to it. And... I don't know, Chiller, I didn't sell that many DVDs or T-shirts. It's way too much competition with real celebrities. But the World Oddities Expo here in Baltimore, almost no real celebrities, and I sold plenty of good T-shirts.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And the other thing is I like that...
That was just this past Saturday? Or?
Down in Lord Baltimore, in downtown Baltimore.
But it was on Saturday night, was November 2nd, you were there.
Correct, okay, correct.
Yeah.
As opposed to Chiller, it was like almost 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great because I even have like a select few t-shirts that say I was raped by Pogo on the back,
uh-huh.
which people like more at the World Oddities Expo as opposed to Chiller, where there are people more mainstream, like, you bastards.
How dare so you? Not a rape t-shirt clown.
I had the first reaction at Monster Mania where this woman's like so excited to buy a t-shirt, and I get it out to show her. When I showed her the rape joke, just the hate in their eyes, like, you bastard! Like, so wrong! I'm like, I'm a rape clown, you know? What do you expect from Gacy, you know?
We're the rape clowns, right? I don't judge you. Listen, I don't judge your lifestyle.
But you have, in this world, you have a definitely... Did I say anything about the party in the last couple of weeks?
No, nothing about the party. What party did you go to?
I got paid to go to a Philly party in probably one of the worst neighborhoods in Philly.
Nice. Okay.
Scared to death just driving those things because it was definitely as bad as East or West Baltimore, if not worse.
All right, nice.
A little bit more diversity. A little bit more Mexican. But having to clown up on the streets where there was at least a corner that was lit was not fun in itself. But once you got into his like little compound, it was almost a little compound in row houses there, which was like a little mecca. Like a tiny little mecca in that filth pit of scariness where I was always packing driving those streets. Yeah, it was a good little party. They actually have a house that's pretty much like an Oddities from the show on whatever that was with Mike Zahn.
Yeah.
And they had at least 10 human skulls in one area.
Ah, cool.
At least 3 or 4 pickled pugs. If you know what those things are, I'm not going to explain.
They're little dogs in a little jar.
Yeah, pugs in jars.
Pugs in jars.
Little dogs. He even had like a little weird Gacy thing that he did upstairs, and I took a picture with that. The ladies were a little wild during the show.
Okay.
And I won't say any more about that because I care about my marriage. So.
Oh, so there was titties out that happened.
There might have been.
Jeremy, you're like a goddamn rock star now.
I don't welcome it. I really don't.
Okay.
So, you know, because I'm supposed to be a good person and not.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that the
like
rape
that
clown
happen?
Did not consent to this thing to see titties? That's ridiculous.
I will admit I closed my eyes. So.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, it sounds like you've been living the life, Jeremy. Now, the day job is kicking your ass that you got. You're working.
Yes, I am too old for this job.
And you said you've brought to us your third Pallet Jack song, which the fans have been clamoring for weeks now. Ever since
when's
you dropped
make
this,
a goddamn another Pallet Jack song. That's all we want from this damn thing.
Fuck these horror movies and all that. We came here for the Pallet Jack songs.
Here it comes.
Here's Jeremy's third Pallet Jack driver song.
Oh no. You recorded it with some background sound.
It's your mic that picked it up.
These are things I run over with my Pallet Jack. Lots of blueberries. Strawberries too. Many a banana have been crushed underneath. Chicken pots. Oh, the avocado's very smooth. But there's one thing that makes me cry, and I do it every day and they die. Those things are onions and they make me cry. Onions make me cry. Yes, they do.
Running over onions.
Unlike plums, I run over plums. And boysenberries. I've even run over a pomegranate and maybe a chrysanthemum.
A chrysanthemum?
I've run over human heads and human hands.
Oh, man.
Nobody ever finds out I run away from the scene, but I cry when I run over onions. Onions that make me cry. Onions that make me cry when I run them over. Vegetable Kingdom. I'm the bad and Jack. Running through the giant warehouse where I run over everything and hurt people because I don't care. I'm my powerful bad Jack.
Good stuff, Jer. Good stuff.
It's
running over stuff on your pallet jack.
90% true. I haven't really hurt anybody on purpose.
Now, Jeremy, with your new stardom at your night gig, you picked us up a sponsor?
Yeah. We're going to be making like $1 million an episode now.
All right. Well, here's our first commercial for our sponsors. We'll be back right after this.
Sold in stores and online at drcoxbornajuice.com.
So, Dr. Cox, huh?
That's, yeah, he makes boner juice. And you're guaranteed a boner for 48 hours straight.
You met this? Is this a person you met in Philadelphia? Is that?
I think I was confronted online, and I just like, well, I'll make a song for you if you need a song about your boner juice.
How much money did he give you for us to play that?
$50.
$50.
We got to play it for like 2 years straight.
2 years for $50?
I think it was a good deal.
All right, so Dr. Cox Boner Juice, the official.
Or else we're going
to die. So he's threatened you.
Yeah, it was actually, it's a lot of threatening.
It was more of a, yeah, he showed pictures of like my whole family. He said, they're dead unless I take this $50.
I said, what if we don't? And he instantly punched me in the face. So.
Well, that makes sense. Now, it makes a lot more sense that you did that.
Yeah. At least it paid for my gauze, for my blood.
We do have a couple of Joe Robinson's corrections.
Hey, Joe Robinson, do you have corrections for us this week on Quality Time?
All along the lighthouse.
All along the lighthouse. all right. Okay, wait a minute. Did you guys just suggest that the Black Crowes suck? Fuck right off. Which I did suggest the Black Crowes were a terrible band. He also said that your song, which I believe is the psoriasis song, was solid, but it's no Docking with My Son. Or no, what was the... I guess it. No, it was House of a Thousand Corpses song. No. But it was no Docking with My Son or Jeremy Skin song.
I would prefer it be compared to the 13 Ghosts.
In regards to our House of a Thousand Corpses episode, he says Creature Feature was on local independent station Channel 20, eventually became a Fox channel, and it was hosted by Count Gore Duvall. I guess because we were talking about like the opening to the movie.
Which was our local guy compared to, I don't know if the guy in the movie was real or not. And everybody knows, what's his name? Zachary up in Jersey. I don't think anybody knows him down here, but everybody loves him in Jersey. He just died. He was like 100 years old or something.
Ah.
But Creature Feature, Count Gore Duvall, what's his name, who's now looks like he's 80, 90 years old, even though when he was doing it was on DCTV. I got to see him the last time at Horror Find, and I saw him taking a picture with a nice semi-old elderly lady. She might have been pushing 60. And just to see him do a grab ass while he's
Saw him get a good grope in?
Yeah, that just kind of like took me all out of my frame of reference. Like, oh, he is a man after all, as opposed to just being around kids and being a possible pedophile. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you were okay that he groped a woman without her consent because it proved that
I think it was very much with consent because she didn't complain at all. So. Okay.
But you're not it proved to you that he wasn't a kid toucher. Okay.
That
makes sense.
You're normal as the rest of us, except you're taking advantage of the ways that most celebrities kind of do these days. So,
all right.
Except for the Me Too unit.
The
movement.
Joe points out that the point of a verse is that it's grammatically incorrect. We don't need any education. Ugh. Obviously, it's we don't need no education, referring to Pink Floyd. Anyway, Count Gore Duvall was played by Dick Diesel, who was also Bozo the Clown.
I think it's Dicel.
And Captain 20.
Yeah. I know he's Captain 20.
Yeah, Diesel. D-Y-S-Z-E-L. Diesel.
Otherwise, his brother is Vin Diesel.
So. Played by Mike Diesel. So, yeah. Jeremy will remember this, is all he says. So, and Jeremy also calls Adidas, which he didn't like.
And another thing is, if you listen to another Brick in the Wall Part 2, says, I love Satan, he's the shit.
So,
when the kids are singing.
This one, Joe Robinson pointed out, is a huge correction, okay? And it's towards me. You can record two shows in one night, read all my corrections during the first episode, and then shit on me the second episode for having no corrections? That's ridiculous. He also says it's not Walter, it's Walton Goggins. So Walton Goggins, not Walter Goggins. And that was a mistake by our guest, Eric Kucharavi. And
was that the old guy in the movie?
Walton Goggins is the guy from who gets shot in House of a Thousand Corpses. He's the cop, not the main cop, but the other cop.
Oh, the bad guy from Hateful Eight.
He's the good guy in Hateful Eight. He's the racist, the but he ends up being the good guy, right?
Well, he's still a bad guy, good guy. So.
And then he goes, you just called him Walter, too. And then you did it again. And then you go, I guess you said something about Rob Mayer selling a shirt that said Pussy Lickers. And
I don't know which comedian that was.
He goes, yeah, Jeremy, I'm sure Rob Mayer sold a t-shirt with a cat on it that said Pussy Lickers. That sounds like his style.
I don't know who it was. I can't remember who it was. So I just threw out one of the few comedians' names I actually know. So,
I also then did one preemptive correction. This is for the Evil Dead episode. I sent this to him before he could get it to me. I refer to the Hatfields and McCoys as the Hattonfields and McCoys. Okay. As if it was the fictional town that Michael Myers grew up in versus the McCoys. And then Joe responded back to me saying, that's not allowed. I can't preemptively correct myself.
I prefer the James Hetfields and McCoys. So.
Yes, the James Hetfields and McCoys. Yeah. All right, and that's it for Joe Robinson's corrections. Now, Jeremy, we're in Fansgiving every November. We started this last year. We're back at it again. We pick our top fans, and they give us a movie to watch. And this one is picked out. I don't think we can name drop her because she has a job that she doesn't want to know that she listens to us monsters. Why don't we just call her? Let's call her.
We just call her bitch.
She's a top fan. We can't just call her bitch.
Well, after this choice, maybe I have a special
name.
Maybe
she's not
for
a top
her.
Fan after this.
Maybe I need to vent a little bit.
Let's call her. Sabrina. Sabrina.
Sabrina, the teenage bitch.
Sabrina. So Sabrina is very famous. I'll tell you why she is a top fan first and foremost. She sent us a message months and months ago that says, and she messages us from time to time. She's a big fan and supporter of all of the local comedians around here. But Sabrina messaged me and said, I was really drunk and out in the streets of Frederick. I met a guy. We were talking about movies. I said he would love your podcast. So I subscribed him to your podcast on his phone. Okay. Basically, I'm the best fan ever.
All right. She's working.
I agreed. I agreed with her. Now, what happened weeks later, and you can see this on our Facebook page if you go up there, and also on our Instagram. Go ahead, click and follow us. That'd be great. But on the Quality Time page, I posted the picture of her messaging that to me with her identity sealed. And then a month later, we got a 5-star review that said, yeah, some drunk broad came up to me in the middle of the night. Subscribe me to this. I've been listening. It actually was surprisingly funny, and
two
I loved
and
it.
Two.
So there you go. She not only that got us that, but she got us an additional 5-star rating.
It's a small world after all. Frederick, in the streets of drunkenness.
Yeah, so she thank you, Sabrina. We do appreciate it. But she picked us the goddamn worst movie we've ever had to fucking break down a review here. And her reasoning for it literally was an attack on you, Jeremy. She said, I want Jeremy to have to watch this movie and hate it. And she picked for us the 2008 classic Twilight.
No, no problem. I had no problem watching this. Gave me no special antagonism at all.
So Jeremy immediately loved the movie. He loved it so much, guys, that he made a special intro song to tonight's episode. Here's Jeremy's Twilight theme, and I hope you guys enjoy it as much as I did. Begism is what got me. Right,
I'm very glad that woman I hired to do this song for
everybody.
Man,
she sounded hot, dude. That brought sounded good.
I think she still had a penis, though.
So,
although she does win at every sport.
This movie, my wife pointed out to me that when we first started dating, which was, I guess, a year or two before this, I got her this as a gift. I bought this DVD because her explanation, she was like, I handed it to her. I was like, yeah, you know, girls love Twilight. That's the thoughtful boyfriend I was back in like 2008. Yeah, I bought this DVD for her. She said she attempted to watch it 3 times and never finished it. So I knew I was getting into something trying to watch this this film, but Robert Pattinson, Kristen Stewart. It was a bit of a phenomenon that happened in the late 2000, right around 2010. I remember they had Team fucking Jacob or Team Edward. Which one are you on? Are you fucking the wolf boy? Or are you fucking the vamp boy? What are you doing? Where are you at? Where's your head at? What makes your fucking pussy wet? Which is a what monster makes you the wettest, right? Is it? And I think they shouldn't have stopped there. Why can't we have a sexy Frankenstein? Ooh,
you know, she's sitting down by the sea, and all of a sudden this big creature from the Black Lagoon comes out. His lips were so big, I just wanted to lick him in the middle.
What is your Mount Rushmore of what do you think would be like your top like four like classic movie monsters that you'd want to have sex with? Let's rank that.
Well, vampire, number one being the Blob.
Remember one being the Blob? Just a giant tube that you'd throw him in and just fleshlight him? That's a good one. I think the Blob is a good one. I mean, after seeing The Shape of Water, the creature from the Black Lagoon, I mean, that thing could fuck, right?
He's a fish, so yeah. I think it's pretty good, you know, whether what sex he is.
Yeah,
so.
And hey, people have said manatee pussy, closest thing to human pussy there is.
Although we have to be very... what's the word? Awoke about
awoke,
the,
yes. About, that's what people call it. They call it being awoke.
About calling him from the Black Lagoon versus Whoa. The any color lagoon.
Whoa.
So.
So we got Blob, creature from the Black Lagoon. I feel like the Wolfman, not, you know what? Why not just fuck a Greek guy? I think I take him off, right? And just fuck a Greek dude or lady. They're real hairy people. You ever seen my buddy Ope used to he dated this Greek girl who literally looked like the Wolfman. Like she was very beautiful, but she didn't shave her arms, and she just had like literally those Jerry Seinfeld man hand arms, which is like real hairy, just looked like she looked like Robin Williams from the elbow down. Real rough. So I take Wolfman off. After seeing True Blood, I feel like, you know, vamps are up there. Vamps are at least a sexy undead, right? So yes. Vamps make my top three. So Blob, creature from the Black Lagoon, vampire, and then, you know, I mean, do you go mummy? Do we go, I mean, like, The Rock? Like, if you gave me a Jessica Alba mummy, okay, I'm into it, maybe. What other classic monsters are there, right? A sexy Frankenstein. I don't know.
Everything's classic now. It's been at least 30, 40 years since...
Oh, you go by car rules, so...
I mean, classic rock now, you know, you'll even have Weezer being a classic rock band, so...
Well, hell, I'd love to fuck that that Cenobite's neck then from Hellraiser, the one with the fucking open wound, the one with the gash in her neck. I want to go fucking throat fuck that thing. That'd be good.
And you know the difference between Hellraiser 1 and 2? That was a real ugly number 1 Hellraiser chick.
Yeah,
number
yeah.
Number 2, she actually looks pretty good in real life. But...
She's not bad in Hellraiser
ooh,
2.
Mm. The first one, man, she was... Ooh.
Oh, I meant Chatterbox. That's the one I want to bang. Big ass horse teeth.
Otherwise known as Poor Old Bastard. So.
All right, well...
I couldn't see in the first episode, in the first suit, so they called him Poor Bastard.
All right, well, Sweet Sabrina, you're getting your Fansgiving wish. Here's our breakdown of Twilight 2008. It opens up and we meet young Kristen Stewart, who plays Bella, who's moving to Fork. Just move. First of all, the place they're moving is such shit. Where are you moving? Moving to Fork, Washington. It's just called Fork, with her dad Charlie. And
you know where the college is there, don't you?
Where's
it's called Fork U.
Fork U.
Yeah.
So, I can't bring myself to regret the decision to leave home. I would miss Phoenix. I'd miss the heat. I would miss my loving, erratic, harebrained mother. Hey. And her new husband.
Guys, come on, I love you both. We got a plane to catch.
But they want to go on the road. So I'm going to spend some time with my dad. And this will be a good thing. I think.
They're sending you to Fork. they want you to kill with extreme prejudice.
So,
do you understand this, sir? Yeah, I understand it.
So the relationship with her dad is distant. We meet Billy Black, who is a disabled Native American, and his son, Jacob.
Billy Burke.
It's Billy Burke?
Yeah.
I think it's... Are you fucking with me right now?
No.
It's not Billy Black?
No.
What about Billy Blanks? It's Billy Blanks.
You know why I know this?
Tybo.
You know why I know this? Because I actually worked on Ladder 49 in the same room with him.
Oh, okay.
And the one thing that was very interesting, which I bothered my friend during some of the scenes, is his girlfriend, Nev Campbell, showed up on set and was sitting on the side of the set.
Ah.
Which I bothered my friend. It's like, hey, she's checking you out, dude. Yeah. Nev Campbell's checking you out. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. So,
a lot of people don't know this about the actor who played Billy. He's the older man in the wheelchair. Actually, he crippled himself to be in this film. He never walked again.
You're talking about
this.
The Indian?
Yeah, the Indian in the wheelchair.
That's not Billy Burke.
His name in the movie is Billy Black.
Oh, the character.
Yes.
Oh, I'm talking about the actor named Billy Burke.
Okay, thanks.
Who's the father, the cop.
Okay, we're talking about two separate things
right
sorry.
Now. Sorry.
And then you didn't even laugh at my joke about this Indian guy who crippled himself just to be in the movie Twilight.
Yes.
So, anyway. So, he's a disabled Native American, and his son is Jacob, who, not in this movie, but in later films, you find out is the werewolf boy. So, he's a Native American werewolf, and... here's the meeting with Jacob.
Hi, I'm Jacob.
Hey.
We used to make mud pies when we were little.
Out of our own shit.
We used to roll around and shit down here. Welcome back home.
I just find this whole thing of considering the stereotype that Indians are wolves, mm-hmm. just really highly offensive as opposed to just being degenerate drunks.
Yeah, you know, give me a realistic casino owner. That's what I want. So they present this beat up old truck that they fixed up for her. It makes her real happy. She then goes to meet to school the next day and meets Eric, the fucking Asian kid. So here's
very
here's,
gay.
Here's Asian Eric.
You're Isabel Swan, the new girl. Hi, I'm Eric, the eyes and ears of this place. Anything you need? Tour guide, lunch date, shoulder cry on?
I'm sorry, I'm much more,
kind of the more
manly than you are.
Suffer in silence type.
Good headline for the future. I'm on the paper and your news, baby. Front page.
No, I'm not. Please don't have
whoa,
any sort
whoa,
of...
chillax. No feature.
He's so fucking cool and incel-y. Chillax, man. Hey, remember when chillax was a thing? Chillax was a thing when I was too old to be cool.
You know, I grew up with movies like Heathers.
Yeah, yeah.
And more than that, I just loved Strangers with Candy more than any other show, just making fun of kids' TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
So she meets Mikey, who's the regular human heartthrob of the school, and some other regulars. At lunch, they point out the Cullens, who are basically from this giant foster kid family who moved from Alaska, that are clearly vampires posing as family that are dating each other.
Tom Cullen, M-O-O-M, that spells vampire.
And as all this weird foster family that kind of dates and fucks each other walks in, we meet sweet baby Edward, who is just god damn it, fucking
Dr. Collins, like this foster dad / matchmaker. Maybe he'll adopt me. Who's he?
Oh my god.
Edward Cullen. He's totally gorgeous, obviously.
Quick, I need to change the newspapers from underneath me.
Like I care, you know. So, yeah. Seriously, like, don't waste your time.
But this new boy vampire makes my pussy really wet. Yeah!
All right. So Edward is the heartthrob vampire. He walks in. She walks past a fan at one point into the class, and the scent almost makes Edward bust in his pants. The second class
ends.
Why
does he have to walk next to a fan?
Yeah, why are girls always walking past fans when I just want to drink their blood? Ugh, God.
It took me most of the movie to realize that this fucking dumbass actor, Ron Patterson, just...
Ron Patterson.
He just has... He looks like a fucking retarded amalgam of a vampire and a Frankenstein. Just that dumb fucking look that he gives through the whole fucking movie. Just
this movie has excessive staring. Just like lots of like.
And you know what he's doing the entire fucking movie? He's doing fucking Magnum.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
giving the Magnum fucking Ben Stiller look through the whole fucking movie. Like, can you guys fucking act? It's like you make the guy from Star Wars seem like a good actor through this fucking movie. So.
He immediately gets up after class and goes to the front office where he asks this.
There must be something open. Physics, biochem.
Every class is full. Just a minute, dear. I'm afraid you'll have to stay in biology.
So she walks in to see this.
I just have to endure it.
Next to a girl!
So Bella sees this, can't understand what his problem is or why she's so fucking horny. And the next day, Bella shows up at school to confront Edward.
I plan to confront him and demand to know what his problem was. But he never showed.
I don't know how far we are away from the big reveal. It's like, oh, she goes on the internet. She finds out he has really bright, white, pale face.
More days passed.
And his skin is cold, and he doesn't like girls. Oh, he's gay! He's gay! There's a big fucking surprise.
Things were getting a little strange.
Things were getting a little bit strange as it immediately cuts to a scene of a worker getting attacked, most likely by a group of vampires. Dad Charlie has to go into town to Mason County to investigate the grisly crime that has occurred. She heads to the school, and this is another problem. In a movie that could be saved by just some good violence put in, there's none of that that they show. No fucking good violence that happens. Like, I've built it up. Ooh, let's see some fucking vampires kill someone. No, you just see some weird undershot of, like, vampires maybe ripping somebody apart. It's fucking real big letdown.
There's not going to be any blood or any violence in our Lifetime for Women show movie, okay?
Yes.
Which is aimed at 12-year-old girls.
So she heads to school and finally sees Edward. He's in a much better mood and talks to her. The teen angstiness is so fucking strong throughout this. She tells him why she's here. But it's mostly just lots of intense staring. Like it's an episode of Dragon Ball Z that they're trying to power up the whole time. She notices that his eyes are a different weird color as they're leaving class.
Did you get contacts?
No.
Your eyes were black the last time I saw you, and now like golden brown.
Yeah, I know. It's the fluorescence.
Oh, did I also mention that people that can read other people's minds, they're gay?
Yeah. So, which, by the way, this is the other thing I don't understand. Everybody's really okay with this movie. So he's a vampire who's hundreds of years old, and he's just trying to bang some 16-year-old girl in this? And nobody's gonna... Like, why is he teen angsty? That's the thing that makes no sense. Like, he doesn't understand how the world... Like, you're hundreds of years old right now.
He's only 108.
Only 100. I'm only 100. I'm basically a baby in vampire years. So,
basically, after one lifetime's worth, he's become like a retarded old man. So,
out in the parking lot, Bella almost gets hit by a van, but Edward comes in out of nowhere and stops the vehicle with his hand, and there is some real, like the most sexiest of stare-offs that they have before he runs off. She goes to see Dr. Cullen, who is like the foster dad of all of the vampires, and here is what he says.
You know, it would have been a whole lot worse if Edward wasn't there. He knocked me out of the way.
Edward? Your boy?
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, he got to me so fast, he was nowhere near me.
Sounds like you were very lucky. Charlie?
Whoa. So she confronts Edward about the incident. He tells her that no one will believe her. Edward also says, "You're not going to let this go." She says, "Yes." And he says, "Well, I hope you enjoy your disappointment."
Can I point out this through the entire film? Mm-hmm. That everybody has a dumb fucking blank stare on their face, yeah, almost during every fucking scene.
So many blank stares through this whole fucking movie.
You're either given like a fucking pose like fucking Magnum, or you're just staring blankly like you're a dumb fucking the whole movie.
Hey, Edward, we like that last scene. Maybe a little bit more staring at the camera. Do what you want. Let's run it back one more
time. I think the director could have had one knee that says intense stare and dumb fuck stare on the other fucking knee and just point to it. Point to it for the fucking actor to just look at.
So she dreams about him that night. Mike asks Bella to the prom. She turns him down. Edward is still being distant. And they have this little 20-second conversation here.
I mean, why didn't you just let the van crush me and save yourself all this regret?
Why do you think I regret saving you?
I can see that you do. I don't know why.
You don't know anything.
Hi. Are you going to be riding with us?
No, our bus is full.
You can't ride with us because I'm a vampire man. So all the human kids decide to go to the beach. Bella invites Edward, who can't stop talking about talking to her. They decide to go, but he doesn't show up. Jacob and his friends are there, and he tells them a bit about the Cullens and why they're not at the beach.
What did your friends mean about, you know, the Cullens don't come here?
You caught that, huh? I'm not really supposed to say anything about it.
But I'm going to right now.
I can keep a secret.
really, it's just like an old scary story. Okay, did you know Quileutes are supposedly descended from wolves?
What? Like wolves?
Yeah.
Like real wolves?
Well, tribe.
Yeah, I'm a werewolf, bitch.
So what's the story about the Cullens?
Did you know the Jews are descended from mummies?
What? Well, they're supposedly descended from this, like, enemy clan. My great-grandfather, the chief, found them hunting on our land. But they claim to be something different, so we made a treaty with them. If they promised to stay off Quileute lands, then we wouldn't expose what they really were to the pale faces.
I thought they just moved here.
Or just moved back.
Oh! A werewolf!
Oh, gosh!
They say a little further south, we were descended from Ewoks.
So, next we see some vampires that are not the Cullens killing some poor townsfolk guy that we met earlier in the diner. He was, hey, you remember me? This character, I don't know if you remember this character, Jeremy, yeah. But he reminds us of me and our Uncle Jeffrey, who's been mentioned multiple times on this show. He's like, hey, Bella, you remember when I used to play? You remember when you were four and I used to play Santa Winter? You're like, no, I literally don't remember. Oh, I used to play Santa. Mm-hmm. You really loved it. So they go to kill this.
He was so lovable. But how does he look now with his throat ripped out?
Oh, God.
I can still see that Santa Claus look on his face.
So they decide to kill this poor fella. And here's a little audio from Matt.
Who are you?
It's always the same inane question.
That's me, Jeffrey.
Who
are you?
What do you want?
Hey, do you have any lawnmower parts?
Why
you can give me?
James, let's not play with our food.
Oh my gosh, he's more powerful than my one horsepower Evan Rude.
So they kill that poor guy. Of course, there's no blood or gore. They just move on with the story. Bella goes dress shopping for prom. On the way home, she gets almost raped by some bros. Edward saves her. He takes her to dinner that night. She finds out that he can read minds but can't read her mind. And this is a weird thing.
This is
part
the
of
best
the Twilight
fag hag relationship of all time.
We find out that all of the vampires actually later on have special powers. There's ones that can see the future, and there's ones that can just never have to look at a TV guide. They just always know what's on whatever channel you need to turn to. Very special powers. So
I don't need a TV guide. I have TV guide powers. No, that's going to be preempted.
Hey, what time is the Ravens game? It's 4:30. Immediately just answers. So Edward says he can't stay away from her anymore, and she replies, "Then don't." She touches him, and it's super cold. So she's still not can't figure out he's a vampire yet. So
I love
we're
that
still
scene later
that.
When they're playing the piano together. Yeah. You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice my love.
So next they find that the local Santa was ripped to shreds.
Which is also my favorite Styx song.
And also was part of a grisly murder. Bella gets a book that tells her about the Cold Ones, which is, first of all right, so this is how she finds out it's a vampire.
Otherwise known as the Democrats.
She's like, let me Google search Cold Ones. Oh, let's look up this ancient Native American thing that talks about the Cold Ones. And through a series of Google searches, she's able to figure out that this is a vampire. Something we've known for 45 minutes of the film that she, in 2008, was able to finally figure out by buying a book first. When the van... It's ridiculous.
He saves you, but he doesn't want to have sex. He's gay!
So, now armed with this new fucking shit that she clearly read on a website that had a black background with green text... we get the reveal
with a picture that took 5 minutes to reveal itself to actually load up on AOL.
She goes to confront Edward about this.
You never eat or drink anything. You don't go out in the sunlight.
You're gay. I get it.
you like muscle magazines.
you have every Liza Minnelli album that's ever existed. You have 14 cats. You have they're all named after your favorite Broadway musical plays.
You have walls just lined with unopened Transformer packages.
How old are you?
17.
Nearly 18.
How long have you been 17?
A while.
I know what you are.
Bigism. You're a mummy.
Say it.
Vampire.
Are you afraid?
No, I just don't like techno music.
No.
Then ask me the most basic question. What do we eat?
Do you like Red Wings?
You won't hurt me.
Oh, so he runs her to the top of the mountain to show her what he looks like in the light, and like they're like, I was like, all right, fucking cool, we're gonna get to see what happens to vampires in sunlight.
I'll watch him burn his fucking face off.
I want to see him fucking burn a little bit or look like some kind of ghastly monster or something like that.
No, they're good vampires.
No, he's shiny. Like, it just looks... He looks like a vampire, but he's covered in glitter. Like, it just...
I become a glitter vampire.
If everybody,
and I dance through the night.
If everybody saw me in the light, oh, they would know how beautiful I am, and I couldn't do that.
I just wear the tightest of short shorts, and I have glow sticks in my mouth when I dance.
So he explains to her why it's so hard for him to be around her.
My family, we're different from others of our kind. We only hunt animals. We learn to control our thirst. But it's you. Your scent.
Your filthy, it's bloody like vagina I smell every moment.
I like my own personal brand of heroin.
Which is why you need to understand, that's why I suck dick. Because you're my heroine. I have to suck these men's penises every time I smell you so that I can get to be around you more. That's how it works in our vampire world.
Can we talk about the last episode of Sex and the City?
So he says that he can't control himself around her. They lay in the grass and get all googly-eyed over each other.
About three things, I was absolutely positive. First, Edward was a vampire.
We have to see the frightened ones.
A second,
we have to see the falling ones.
There was a part
ones.
Of him, and I didn't know how dominant that part might be. That thirsted for my blood.
Have to run for shelter in the promise celebrate. Oh, don't show
and third,
the clear blue sky.
I was unconditionally and irrevocably in love with him.
Irrevocably. I had
irrevocably.
To look
have you ever been irrevocably in love?
Dude, I was irrevocably stoned.
So they show up to school together the next day, and everybody is looking at them, and they just don't care. It's like a really, really bad Sid and
They're
Nancy
like,
scene.
Edward isn't gay.
Like, we don't even care that people are looking at us.
They felt just like Marilyn Manson and Rose McGowan on the red carpet together, except she had much larger breasts.
So, Edward gives her a little bit of his backstory.
That's when Carlisle found me, dying of Spanish influenza.
Spanish influenza is the worst.
The venom was excruciating, but what Carlisle did was much harder. Not many of us have the restraint to do that.
He sucked all the poison
Didn't
out of
just
my penis.
Right?
Not exactly. When we taste human blood, a sort of frenzy begins. And it's almost impossible to stop.
Is it a frenzy or berserk?
My family, we think of ourselves as vegetarians, right? Because we only survive on the blood of animals. But it's like a human only living on tofu. Keeps
oh,
you strong.
Oh, gosh.
You're never
and heroin.
Fully satisfied.
Oh, gosh. So, Edward then...
We are new vegan vampires.
We are vegan vampires. We only eat regular animal meat. So, Edward invites Bella to come meet his family, so she agrees. Next, Jacob and his dad show up to watch the Mariners game. Jacob's dad mentions that he has eyes for young Bella. It's embarrassing. She heads towards Edward's place. They are some real nice monsters, okay? They're making her salad and stuff like that. They would all like to basically fucking rip her to shreds. But they're not, because they're nice vampires, I guess.
We're vegan vampires.
And one of them gets really pissed because she's already eaten, of course. So they're like, oh, I know you guys didn't eat. So she smashes the bowl. She's going to be a problem later.
She's the bitchy vampire.
And you walk around their room. This is where it gets like, oh, God, the level of just... He shows her the room that he's in, and it is a goddamn hipster's dream. Like, it is like, there's records all over.
Where'd you get all this vinyl?
Don't you have a bed? He's like, I don't need a bed. it's just fucking books and fucking vinyl. And of course, the thing that's on the record player is like fucking Bach. Like, he's just like, oh, I only listen to the classics on vinyl. Like, shut the fuck up, dude. He then takes her on, hops on his back and takes him on a tree climbing with, because they live around giant redwoods, and like takes her, and then they
also
play
have
piano.
The Green Destiny.
He plays a piano with her, and she just can't fucking, like, if she was wearing Depends, they're fucking soaked through
it
to
most,
the bone.
It is the most just romantic scene of them playing chopsticks together.
With the one thing you don't,
I want you and always together. We went far and always together. We went far and together. Let's push one key at a time. So
next we see the sheriff looking for the monsters with a dog and finds a weird human footprint. We then
enter
find out
in Bigfoot into the film.
We then find out he comes into Edward goes and visits Bella while she sleeps quite frequently, and which is alarming, right? This is an incel move. He's like, oh yeah, I've watched you sleep for years.
Did you see the deleted scene?
No, yeah, I didn't spend any extra time on the film.
That was the scene where Bigfoot talks about his love for Bella. He's like, will you tell Bella that I love her?
tell her that Edward doesn't really love her. Edward really loves her.
Tell her it was a friend.
Bigfoot, I know we had one date. He's like, really love.
We had a child together.
I got this from the giant store. And he brings out like this little plastic ring that has a heart on it. He's like, I'm going to marry you right now.
I gave her this chunk of moss that I found. I know he has nothing, but he keeps trying to give me moss like it means something. So, and that he used to wipe with.
So we find out he comes and watches her sleep, and instead of being incredibly offended and finding that that's a barrier that he shouldn't have crossed, she's super fucking into it.
Plus, he's masturbating while he does it. So
they have their first makeout sesh, but as he's getting carried away, he flies across the room saying, saying, I don't want to lose control, but really, she just doesn't have a penis. So, Edward then takes her the next day to go play baseball with his family at night, and what is the most bizarre date I've ever seen. They play a version of baseball is what the best way to describe how they play baseball is how baseball would be if everyone was allowed to do steroids, right? So they're just fucking hitting dingers, and Edward is running out into the woods to go catch them. But the game time is interrupted by the bad vampires.
Oh, no.
I am Luron. And this is Victoria.
Not a black vampire.
And James.
I'm Carlisle. This is my family.
We're vegan vampires.
I'm afraid your hunting activities have caused something of a mess for us.
Our apologies. We didn't realize the territory had been claimed.
Yes, well, we maintain a permanent residence nearby.
Really? Well, we won't be a problem anymore. We were just passing through. Could you use three more players? Oh, come on. Just one game.
We're vampires. We love pickup baseball. That's what we live for.
Two of us were leaving to take their place. We'll bat first.
Bet you they have cricket bats.
I'm the one with the wicked curveball.
Oh, well, I think we can handle that.
Oh. You know, baseball and vampires are like peas and carrots. So the bad vamps immediately smell the human. They try to attack Bella, and the rest of them fend them off. Edward says they're going to go after her. He takes her back to their place, and he takes her back home. She puts on a pony show for her dad, saying that she has to leave and that she broke up with Edward. She breaks her father's heart leaving. She pulls off, but we can see that one of the bad vamps, the one who's the tracker, James, is watching them. Edward hops into her moving car, and they head back to the Cullen house.
He came to warn us about James.
This isn't my fight, and
I've grown tired of his games. But he's got unparalleled senses, absolutely lethal. I've never seen anything like him in my 300 years. And the woman, Victoria, don't underestimate her.
Whoa. So Rosalie, this is the chick who broke one, is not down with protecting Bella, but the other chick takes Bella out of town, and the tracker is thrown off as she follows Rosalie, who's wearing Bella's clothes, but figures it out halfway and is like frustrated and realizes he's been tricked. He changes course. Now the future seeing vampire, who could just see the future, tells everyone that he's coming to Phoenix, which is her hometown and where Bella is headed. So the tracker, by the time Bella gets home, the tracker has found her mom, who her dad told was coming home to back to Phoenix. So she comes home, and now the tracker calls Bella to tell her to leave them and those fucking queer ass vampires and come over to save her mom's life at the dance studio. So she goes to her old dance studio. The tracker's waiting. He has fucking toy. he toys with her, filming her the whole time. Edward swoops in, of course, in the nick of time. They start fighting. It's not a great fight scene. It's fucking horribly choreographed. There's no fucking type of real action that happens. Bella gets bit by the tracker during this, and during the struggle, the rest of the vamps come in at the nick of time because Edward is the fast one as well. And they rip the tracker apart, rip his head off, and then decide to go burn him in the fire. But then Edward's left with a choice: suck out the venom or turn Bella. So he starts to suck her dry, but luckily stops before he kills her. And Bella wakes up in the hospital to the face of her mom.
You don't remember any of this, do you? Edward came down with his dad to try to convince you to come back to Forks. So you went over to their hotel, then you tripped, and you fell down two flights of stairs. Went through a window.
You dumb bitch. What's wrong with you?
Drunk.
What's wrong with you? Bella, Jesus, criminy. Who knows? So mom leaves and Edward stops pretending to sleep in the corner of the room. He tells her to go to Jacksonville so he can't hurt her anymore. She refuses.
Jacksonville.
Yeah, go to Jacksonville, where the promised land. So
Lizard told her to.
They end up finally going to prom. Dad is still stereotypically protective of her. She sees Jacob outside of the prom and he delivers this message to her.
He wants you to break up with your boyfriend. It's just, he said, quote, "We'll be watching you."
Okay, well, tell him thanks.
Okay. Oh, let me help you.
Take her, man.
So he steps in and breaks it up between Jacob, like, "Oh, stop trying to break up my fucking puss party here. I worked all this, okay, pal? Fucking property taken, okay?" And later that night, she asks him why he didn't turn her. He says she doesn't understand, and shouldn't you just be happy to have a very nice long life with him? And pretends that he's about to change her, but just softly kisses her neck. Edward says, "Isn't living a long life with me enough?" She says, "For now." And it ends with this monologue here by Sweet Bella.
"But I won't give in. I know what I want."
And it's fucking vampire fucking dick. As we see the other vampire, Victoria, watching from the shadows, setting up the sequel that we'll never do on this show.
Thank
because
God.
She'll, we can't. We can't do this. We can't do the trilogy of this.
Part
it's impossible.
Part two is the most painful movie ever made.
I've never watched any of them.
I would rather watch
one.
Superman 3 or 4 than watch that movie.
And that brings us to an end of Twilight. Fan pick for Sabrina. I hope you're happy.
Thanks
you're happy.
Thanks a lot, bitch.
Glad my pain is your entertainment.
Well, Sabrina, listen, we appreciate you being a top fan. I hope you enjoyed the episode. It's for you guys, the fans. If you enjoyed...
Just choose a Hallmark movie next. Called My First Abortion.
Oh, yeah. You know,
tonight on Hallmark, My First Abortion.
So, pussy wet.
You'll get more songs like that movie. If you choose another movie like this. I am the most misogynist man in all of Maryland.
That is true. Accurate.
Archie Bunker ain't got nothing on me.
Accurate statement. Accurate statement. So, yeah, that brings us to an end. Kicking off Fansgiving, we got another big one coming up next week that I'm excited
about. Eric gets
about.
To edit out all the times I say the word faggot.
No, I leave them in. I leave them in because, Jeremy, I'm over-censoring you, you know? I'm all about keeping it real with the people, you know? You're...
I love gay people more than this movie.
I love gay people for this movie. Okay.
That's saying a lot.
That was a powerful statement, Jeremy. You can catch me and all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. Got some good shows coming up in the next month. And also, we're coming up on December. Go to dielaughingproductions.com to see me in the murder mystery. We're going to do the Mary murder mystery once again. We're at venues all over the East Coast, so check that shit out. The second Saturday shit show is free every second Saturday of the month. That's hosted by Kimberly Callahan and Michael Quinlan, friends of the show. Check that shit out. Jeremy, take us out.
I have to control myself or else my spew will blow your head right off. I'm Ron Patterson.
These are things I run over with my pallet jack. Lots of blueberries, strawberries too. Many a banana have been crushed underneath. Chicken pots, oh, the avocado's very smooth. But there's one thing makes me cry, and I do it every day, and they die. Those things are onions, and they make me cry. Onions make me cry, yes they do. Unlike plums,
I run over plums and boars and berries. I've even run over a pomegranate and maybe a chrysanthemum. I've run over human heads and human hands. Nobody ever finds out I run away from the scene, but I cry when I run over onions. Onions, onions that make me cry. Onions that make me cry. When I run them over, they're the beautiful of the vegetable kingdom.
That's where it's good to go.